You are listening to a message by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word. For more information about our ministry, please visit enduringword.com.
Hi, everybody. David Guzik here. Hope you can join us for today's live chat. It's another Tuesday afternoon in Santa Barbara. We've had some rain over the past week, but today it's sunny and beautiful and the sky's blue, and it's nice to be here with you all on another Tuesday afternoon. I did want to just mention a few things before we got into some questions here from our chat area. First thing I want to talk about was I had a great time yesterday with my wife and another friend. We went down to a Calvary Chapel Missions Conference at a conference facility down in Southern California. And what a great time to meet with some other people who are interested in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Many pastors, missionaries, missions pastors, other people who are just support people in the whole world of missions. It was a tremendous time. One of the things I really appreciate about that was I was able to connect with a lot of people about the translation work that we have here at Enduring Word. If you only know me from this YouTube channel, you may or may not know that I have a website that has a commentary on the entire Bible. And that commentary on the entire Bible is, of course, available in English. It's also available in Spanish. And we are working on getting it translated into some other languages. Now, we've got translation projects going on. There's six or seven, but there's a couple that are very specifically targeted. And those specific targeted translation projects are, in Arabic and in Mandarin. I don't know why I would forget such a thing. So here in Arabic and in Mandarin, we're working hard to get those translated, the New Testament, and we've got a lot of progress along the way. It's great to meet contacts. I ask people to pray all the time, and if you're watching this, I ask you to pray. Pray for the translation work in Arabic and in Mandarin. Just ask God to continue to bless that work. I do have a couple other things to talk about. I've been working also today and previous days on a video series that we're going to put up on the YouTube channel. One is a video series on church history. About 10 years ago, I did a 20-part lecture series as part of a block class for a Bible college, lectures on church history, and those were videoed. And so we're going to put up those videos, and the videos will include the PowerPoint slides and visuals that we had along with those lectures. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that'll be a good thing. That'll start going up on the YouTube channel pretty soon. Again, a 20-part lecture. And then we also have the book of James that I've taught through right here in my little home studio. We just taught through it verse by verse as if I was teaching a Bible study or a congregation. And those James studies there are online or will be online in the next several weeks, and I'm excited about adding another book there. I did also want to say that we have, I just got in from the publisher, the printer, yesterday, a new commentary in print that we've done on the book of Job. You know, we do try to put our commentary work in print, although, to be honest, it's not a very high priority. It's not a very high priority because we understand that almost everybody who uses a commentary uses it online. And what you find online is substantially the same, very, very little difference between what we have online and what you would have in a print book like this. However, we do recognize that there's some people that just prefer to do books in print. If they had a choice between digital or print, a book or a screen, they'd take the book. And because of that, as we're able to, it's not a high priority for us, but we put the commentary material into print. And so that's something that we take a look at. Now, before I get into the questions in the chat sidebar, I do want to just take this question that came in by email. He said, "Hi, Pastor David. I'm so thankful for Enduring Word. It's helped me to understand and grow very much in my walk with Jesus. Very thankful to God for placing me at my church. I can't join the live chats due to work, but I'm hoping you can answer my question in your next Q&A. Here's the question. It's confusing to me that men were greatly blessed and used in the Old Testament, having multiple wives. I believe Moses being one of them. In a way, I feel like sin was rewarded instead of punished. Many thanks. Well, okay, I'm happy to deal with this question because I think it's an important question. It's something that people ask all the time. What about polygamy in the Old Testament? Why did it seem that God allowed it, God blessed it, whatever? What's the whole deal with polygamy in the Old Testament? I think there's a couple very important points to understand. The first important point is this, is that Jesus told us that polygamy was never God's ideal. It was never his ideal. And listen, I say that recognizing, I'm kind of turning back to a page of the Bible over here on the side of me, but I recognize that God did allow polygamy in the Old Testament. There's no doubt that he did. And there's also no doubt that in the New Testament, God presents the ideal of monogamy. And the ideal of monogamy is presented in the sense that in Titus and in 1 Timothy, very clearly it says that godly men, godly people, especially leaders in the church, should be the husband of one wife, not a polygamous arrangement. But this was God's intention from the beginning, reminded to us by Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus says this in verse 4, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now, Jesus is highlighting that, especially in verse 4, where he says, at the beginning. At the beginning, in other words, from the very origin, this was God's intention for one man to marry one woman and that to be a lifelong bond where they come together as one flesh. And the two becoming one. If God wanted to really put his stamp of great approval upon polygamy, I should say, then he would have made multiple wives for Adam at the very beginning. But the fact that Jesus points out that this was God's pattern from the very beginning to make the model, the example of a monogamous marriage, when people did go into polygamy in the Old Testament, it wasn't in God's ideal. It was in God's permission, but it was not in God's ideal. And here's the important point. They suffered for it. Every close-up we have of family life in a polygamous arrangement, I'm talking about Abraham, if you want to consider Hagar, his concubine, a polygamous arrangement. I'm talking about Jacob. I'm talking about David. I'm talking about other people in the Old Testament where we see a close-up of polygamous life. The family life's a disaster. It's God's way of telling us, this was not blessed by me. I may have blessed the men who practiced polygamy, but it was not because of their polygamy, and their family life was a mess, a disaster. And the other thing you mentioned here in your question is the idea that Moses being one, no, Moses did not have more than one wife. We only know of one wife that Moses had. So I think it's just very important for us to know that Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 lays it out that God intended there to be one husband with one wife, and that to be a lifelong bond, one man, one woman, lifelong bond. That's the intention going into it. And that was God's ideal. And it was so, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, at the beginning, that was God's intention. So I hope that answer is helpful for you. Okay, let me get to some of the questions here in the chat window. First of all, Witness for Jesus. Hi, David. What's the difference between Calvary Chapel Association and Calvary Chapel Global Network? Is there a fellowship between the two? Well, first of all, I would say I regard both of these circles within the Calvary Chapel family. I regard them both being within the Calvary Chapel family. I don't think one is in and one and out. And there are many men, many people that I love and respect in both of these circles. There's somewhat of a difference, maybe just in priority, the way I see it, because I know a lot of guys involved with the Calvary Chapel Association. I know a lot of guys involved with Calvary Chapel Global. Both of them very much, number one, we want to remain faithful to what God has given us in the Bible and sort of our heritage as a Calvary Chapel movement. Number two, I would say both of them want to reach the present generation. Now, they may at times put a different priority on those two things, but I think both of them are important to both circles. And as I said before, there's men that I really love and respect and appreciate working with in both of those circles. And so is there fellowship between them? Well, I see a lot of fellowship between the two. I suppose sometimes, just like in any human relationship, there's sometimes friction between people who have slightly different viewpoints, but I see a lot of fellowship between the two. And so I'm very, very grateful for that. Okay, next question, a witness for Jesus. Are those single commentaries more detailed than the free online commentary? The answer to that question is no. About the only difference is that there may be a few minor punctuation or grammatical differences. But our goal is to always bring the online commentary up to the absolutely well-edited and proof-led level that we have all the print books in. So no, there's really no appreciable difference between the online content and the print content. The only reason for you to get the print content is because you like having a book in print. You like paper and ink better than you do looking at a screen. Okay, next, Hagen. Here's a question that was asked of me, and I'm not sure how to respond. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. We see Peter denies Jesus, yet Jesus restores him. Is Jesus being inconsistent here? Well, Hagen, that's a great question. I think that because we see examples of restoration like this, what Jesus is saying is it's not as if you one time deny me and then regret and repent of it. This is a sin that can be forgiven. Denying Jesus on a particular occasion is not an instance. It's not the unforgivable sin. God can and will forgive this sin if it's confessed and repented of, as Peter did, and Peter was restored. But if a person endures in their denial, if they persist in their, if their position is of denying Jesus, then absolutely positively, Jesus will deny that person before the Father on that day. So I just want you to see the difference between an instance of denial, and if you want to say a position, maybe even what you would call a fixed position of denial. That's the difference I think we're looking at there. Thanks for the question, Hagen. Susan, I pray and thank God for you and your work every morning and evening. Mostly love your videos on Joseph and Jesus. Well, Susan, thank you. Thank you for praying for the work. You know, we see God doing remarkable things through the commentary work, not only in the English-speaking world, but increasingly beyond in the Spanish-speaking world. And as I said, we're pushing on to Arabic and Mandarin, and we've got other translation things either in the works or on the horizon. It's very exciting. And listen, I know that it's helpful, and God, to whatever extent it is helpful, to whatever extent that God does use it, is because people are praying. Thank you for your prayers, Susan, and others who pray. Servant of Christ, God bless you. I'm at work. Have a blessed day, night, evening, wherever you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, amen. Thank you for checking in with us, even with you're at work. It's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing that we can do online, that we can do over the devices that we have. I'm just thrilled that this can be a live streamed event. Luis Ramirez, what is the fourth generation that is referred to in Genesis 15, 16? Well, Luis, I'm going to have to look that up because that doesn't come to my mind immediately. Genesis chapter 15, verse 16. Let me turn back there in my Bible. I've got it up on a little stand right here, right next to my computer. Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, we read this. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. I'm starting at verse 15. You shall be buried at a good old age, but in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Now, that's a very good question there, because it can't be referring to just a fourth generation from a certain standing point of Abraham's own day, because there were multiple generations between the time when Israel returned after the Exodus under first the leadership of Moses, who brought them to the wilderness, and then Joshua, who brought them into the promised land. That's a period of some 400 years. So there were many more than four generations. I think the answer that most commentators give is it says this: but in the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. probably, and again, there's a little bit of dispute. It's one of those a little bit of obscure statements. Probably it's talking about the fourth generation after the iniquity of the Amorites and other Canaanite peoples was complete. In other words, in Abraham's day, God looked down on the Canaanite peoples and said, they are directed towards judgment. They are moving themselves towards judgment, but it's not yet complete. And then at some time, hundreds of years later, they came to a level, a degree where their iniquity was complete. And God said, now I can bring judgment. But even then, God delayed four generations. So whenever it was that God brought this unique war of judgment upon the Canaanite peoples through the people of Israel, you could say that their iniquity was complete four generations before that. And God, in his mercy, still delayed it four generations past that. Listen, God is an amazingly merciful God, and we can't ever forget the great mercy of God, but we also need to remember that there comes a time when the mercy of God is finally exhausted and his judgment comes. So this is a sobering thing for us to take realization of. And thanks for that question there, Louise. Adam, the best way to use David's commentary, in my opinion, is with the Logos.com way of the Pentecostal and Charismatic Gold Package. His commentary is bundled in that package. Well, thank you, Adam. It is true that my commentary is available on the Logos platform. You got to pay for it. But what people like about that is that it integrates right into the Logos whole platform, and you can use it in that manner. And I send updates to the Logos folks of the commentary. I'll be honest with you. They don't update things as promptly as I would like, and I understand that. But again, yes, we do update it, and hopefully from time to time it does get updated there. Sean, pray for me. I'm teaching at Calvary Chapel, Ontario tonight. Excited and scared. Sean, that's wonderful to hear. God bless you. Lord, bless our brother Sean as he teaches at Calvary Chapel, Ontario tonight. Give him grace. Give him wisdom. Give him a settled heart and just enable him to preach your word faithfully. And help and have fun doing it as well, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, Sean. Glad to hear about that. Jared, hey, David, what would you say is your biggest accomplishment is? Jared, what kind of question is that to ask a man? What's my biggest? I don't even know if I'm prepared to say what my biggest accomplishment is. Because, you know, listen, walking with Jesus Christ and being a servant of his and having a relationship, that's an accomplishment. And in eternity to come, that's going to be mine or yours or anybody else's greatest accomplishment. You can get a little more in an earthly scene and say, to whatever extent I've been a good husband and a good father, that's a great accomplishment. But I do have this benefit of having a defined work that I can say, this is my life's work. And it's the commentary on the entire Bible that I have online at enduringword.com. It's also available at Blue Letter Bible. And then on various other platforms in print, such as the New Job Commentary and other places. Listen, I know many pastors. This is one of the gifts, blessings in my life, to have wonderful relationships with a lot of pastors. I know a lot of pastors who have served the Lord for just as long or longer than I have, who have been just as faithful or more faithful as I have. And it's a little bit harder for them to get their hands around a definitive thing that they could say, well, this is my life's work. I have kind of a unique blessing in that regard. So, Jared, I would just say, listen, my everyday relationship with Jesus Christ, that's my biggest accomplishment. Whoever I am as a husband and a father, that's a big accomplishment. But again, also, I think that God has given me this calling, this work to do in the Bible company. It was a work that I never expected to do. It was a work that I never really planned for. It came about accidentally, so to speak, but I'm very grateful for it. All right, next question here. Praise for your commentary on Blue Letter Bible, using it for Project Canaanite. Well, great. Susie, I'm very, very happy to be Wyoming bound. I don't know if you've made it to Wyoming yet, but you're very welcome, Susie. The Witness for Jesus. Many of your online commentaries were complete several years ago, and yet at the bottom of the page, it's dated 2018. Does that mean you have updated it? Well, Witness for Jesus, yes, it means that I've updated something in it. It might be as simple as the formatting of that page. So every time we go through and update formatting or something like that, We'll put the new copyright statement because it is important for us. The Bible commentary that I do has a permission statement at the bottom of every page that you would see it online. And let me explain that. The purpose of the permission statement isn't because I don't want people using it in their Sunday school class or in their sermon or to quote from me. That's not it at all. I just don't want anybody to sell my material without my permission. I'm happy for it to be given away for free. I give it away for free at Blue Letter Bible, on my own site, enduringword.com, and in many other platforms as well. For convenience sake, some people will buy the print book. Some people will buy it on a Logos platform, whatever. But the permission statement I have, we just update that every time we update something on the website. Again, it could be formatting, it could be grammar, punctuation. Yeah, but for many of those, the substantial work was done many years ago. Okay, Adam, Word Search Bible Software also carries it. That's right, cheaper than Logos usually. A couple years ago, Word Search, which is available through Lifeway, that's another big Bible program that carries my complete commentary. And so again, I'm thrilled for Word Search to have it as well. Here's platforms that I know carry. Logos, Word Search, for your mobile device, Mantis Bible Software has it. Now, of course, you can use some of those other platforms on mobile device, but one that is specifically geared just for mobile devices is Mantis Bible Software. And then for free, you can get it on Blue Letter Bible, and you can also get it on enduringword.com. We are in discussion with a very widely distributed app that maybe the commentary will go on there. It's just something we have to pray about. And if they're agreeable and if we're agreeable, we may have it extended out on other platforms as well. I don't mind you praying about that for us. Christopher, I teach an adult Sunday school class and your commentary is our go-to reference. Thank you, brother. Well, Christopher, I'm very happy to hear that. Again, you can only imagine how delighted I am that these materials that, again, came about to be online almost accidentally, almost, not quite accidentally, but certainly I never thought that it would work out the way that it did. And I'm so pleased that it is. If it helps you, Christopher, or anybody else, again, I'm thrilled by that. I'll give it just a couple more minutes if there's any other questions here. But I do just want, again, as I always say, oh, Sean's reminding everybody to hit the like button. Yeah, that's good. It's always a good thing to hit the like button. Again, you don't have to do this so that I feel better about the program. You need to hit the like button because every like gives it a little bit more visibility on the YouTube platform. And listen, I know that right now our YouTube channel and these chats, they're pretty small, they're pretty humble, but I'm completely fine with that. I love doing this, and I love the little family that we feel week in and week out when we gather together. And I know a lot of people, they catch it not only live, but we get, of course, many more who catch it on tape later on. And this is also available as a audio podcast on our website, enduringword.com. Just hunt around the website and you can find the Q&A weekly audio podcast a couple days after these Tuesday sessions. We put it up there as well. And yes, we do plan on keeping it going. Christopher, I'm excited about your church history videos being released. I've listened to your two audio series. And again, thank you. Yes, Christopher, the content is substantially the same as the other 20-part church history series I have already as an audio series online. The big thing about this video series is, number one, we're going to release it on our YouTube channel. That'll hopefully get a little broader distribution. And I really like that it'll have the video graphics and features, the display of the PowerPoint slides that we did along with the lectures. I think that'll be a big assistance to people. The video itself of me teaching, it's not that great. I mean, it's not a great camera. It's a single shot camera. The audio isn't amazing. But I think the real benefit of this is having the video with along with the visuals that were included on a PowerPoint thing when I originally taught this class. And so, yeah, I'm excited about that. I think it's going to be a good series. Adam, have you thought about going through your commentaries and including also patriotic comments and your thoughts on them and other early church stuff? Adam, I have thought about having a little bit more involvement with the early church fathers, especially because there's been so many helpful resources that make it much easier than it was before. You have now commentaries, like a commentary on the Book of Romans, that will include what many of the early church fathers wrote in their commentaries upon passages. And listen, those things are very helpful, makes it a little easier. So that's certainly within the realm of possibility. But this is what I say about my commentary work, is that it is a life work in the sense that I'm never finished with it. I'm always going to be going back and revising and improving and helping the content just hopefully be better and better. One more thing from Adam. I'd be interested in hearing your take on some of the Eastern Orthodox early father writings on scripture and those that you find interesting and relevant to your own commentary. You know, that is a great point, Adam. We'll probably talk about that in a later broadcast. Some of my thoughts, my ideas about our brothers and sisters that come from the Eastern Orthodox world and their doctrine, their thing. I'm no expert on Orthodoxy. But I do have a few opinions. I do have a few ideas and such. And that would be a great thing for us to talk about. I'll prepare a little bit better in a future Thursday broadcast. What are your thoughts on the Passion translation of the Bible? Joel, that's a great question. I'm repeating Joel's question. What are your thoughts on the Passion translation of the Bible? Joel, first of all, I have to give this caveat because, listen, I need to be honest. I haven't read it. And because I haven't read it, I think you would get a better evaluation and review from people who do know it firsthand. Of the reviews I've read and the brief portions I've read of the Passion Translation, it doesn't seem good. It doesn't seem like it's a faithful translation of the Bible. And it is a far, that's not the right for it is an excessive paraphrase. Let's put it that way. It's an excessive paraphrase of the scriptures that is really, you know, has its bias, has its slant. So from the secondhand research that I've done, it doesn't seem to be something recommended. But listen, I always try to give that caveat. I don't want to speak out of turn when I haven't personally. I don't want to act like I'm an expert on something when I'm not. But that's the best answer I can give you right now. Lucia, welcome. Nice to see you. And I thought Eastern Orthodox was discussing your church history. Yes, it was discussed in my church history series. You can hear me talk about Eastern Orthodoxy somewhat, but I think there's some things relevant to today in the Orthodox world that need to be spoken of. Dante, hey, Pastor David, blessings from Lima, Peru. You should come down for a visit. Well, if I get an invitation, I'll pray about it. I've got my calendar pretty much filled up this year with a lot of work. A lot of international work that I'm very much looking forward to. So yes, praise the Lord for that. But we love going to different places. And I hope, Dante, that Suyu and some of the other believers in Peru are taking advantage of the Enduring Word commentary in Spanish that we have on the website. We want it to be a great resource for people. And Lucia, the Message is not an actual translation, is it? Well, okay, this is my understanding, Lucia. The Message is more of a translation than the Passion version. However, the Message is more of a paraphrase, almost a commentary in a sense on the Bible, which it can be valuable as that, but it's not a good base translation to use for your Bible study and I think your Bible preaching. Again, because it's just more interpretive. And listen, when people get more interpretive, more paraphrased with their translations, sometimes I think they'll hit it right on the mark and say, yes, that was great. Yes, that was amazing. Other times it'll be, well, that wasn't so good. We understand there's a whole dynamic. It's a very interesting dynamic in Bible translation period where you're really trying to hit a target. You're trying to thread a needle of making it understandable to the present context and day, but at the same time being faithful to the original in the original languages. And there's some science to it, but there's also some art to it. And I think we just need to evaluate and understand Bible translations for what they are. Thanks for your question there, Lucia. And finally, I'll end with this from John. thank you for your commentary as well. John, you're very welcome. And again, it's a pleasure for me on this Thursday afternoon. Now, next Thursday, I will not be here in Santa Barbara, but I am hoping to do my live broadcast just as before, but I'll be doing it from Austria. I'll be there at a conference center right outside of a small city in Austria named Millstadt. And I'll be there for a pastor's conference coming up the following week. My intention is to do our 12 noon Pacific time together again next time. Hopefully, I'll be doing it for you from Austria. About all I can say is check it out next week. And if we're live, we're live. And I hope you can join us for that. I'll just leave it with this. John Weisner, Pastor David, good to see you. Hope you come to Arizona soon. Well, John, I look forward to when I can come out there. And God bless you, John, you and your family. John's a man that I've known for a long time. And we served together in a church in Southern California many years ago. God bless you, John. And bless all of you who have tuned in for today's live question and answer. Again, as I said before, my earnest hope is to be with you a week from now, 12 noon Pacific time, even though I will be broadcasting you two from Austria. And Dusanka, no, I will not be coming to Vienna. That's not my plan. I was maybe going to visit a church in Italy while I'm there, but no, it's not my plans to come to Vienna. But I don't know. You can always message me or send a comment or some kind of message through the YouTube channel. Anyway, we love to travel and meet with believers wherever we can. God bless you. Thanks for your prayers for Enduring Word, and especially God's blessing on the commentary work and the translation work that goes with the commentary. And thank you to all those who support the work. God is doing some wonderful things, and we're very, very grateful for it. So God bless you, and we hope to see you again here next week.
You've been listening to a message by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word. For more information about our ministry and how to grow in your relationship with Jesus, please visit enduringword.com.